Okay, so we are holding on Kufyud Aleph Amud Beis, the second Mishnah of the new Perek. Second Mishnah of the new Perek on Kufyud Aleph Amud Beis, yeah. Okay, so we learned yesterday, good morning, we learned yesterday that there's certain kind, that Midaraisa Yuchayev, for making a knot on Shabbos that is permanent, and according to that we said yesterday that there are knots that you chayev on Shabbos for that you chayev on Shabbos for making, namely that they're permanent knots. We gave the example, the knot that you have in the nose ring of a camel, and the knot that you have in the front ring of a ship, of a boat, that you would use to, you'd use to hang the anchor, for you'd use to attach a rope, to you'd attach another rope to that ring and use it for the anchor, or to tie up the boat or whatever. We said that those knots are tied and never meant to be untied. Just like in the Mishkan, they had, for example, where if a string broke while they were weaving one of the curtains, then if they would tie the two ends together, and that was a kesher shokayama. That was a permanent knot that was never meant to be undone. So according to Rashi and the Rosh, that's all you need is for it to be chayev, is that it's a permanent knot. According to the Rif and the Rambam, you need an additional thing as well, which is it has to be what's called a kesher shal uman. It has to be a professional's type knot, like not necessarily the type of knot that the average person would know how to tie. Anyway, so we said that. Now we're going to continue with the other kinds of knots. The Mishnah says, there are certain kinds of knots for which you're not chayev, like you would be for the knot of the camel drivers and the knot of the ship people. Oh, good morning, Ari Leib. So you have there's certain kinds of knots, and we'll see in the Gemara what those are. Continues the Mishnah. Then there are knots that are completely mutter to tie. Kasheres isha mafteach chaluka. A woman is allowed to tie the front tie to the ties of her shirt. So the Rashi describes it actually like the way that Galochim wear it. Apparently in his times Galochim wore similar kinds of shirts. You have a strap on each side. You take the one from the right. You take the one that comes from the right side of the clothing and put it over to the left and tie it there. And the same thing in the other. So you end up with something. You end up with a piece of clothing where you have two straps tied crosswise over the front and tied to the respective shoulders. The bapashtos, well, we're talking about a tie. So bapashtos, there's another piece of string over there or whatever to tie it to. And nowadays, I think also you have somewhat similarly, you have some kinds of women's dresses that have ties on the shoulders or whatever. I guess it's a similar kind of thing. Anyway, so she's allowed to tie that on Shabbos. And the reason is, Rashi says, because it's the kind of thing that you untie every day. So we'll see as we start going through the Gemara, how often does it not have to be untied, or how long does it have to be that you plan to keep it tied for in order for it to be osur or mutter, as the case may be. So anyway, so a woman is allowed to tie that. V'chutei svacha, also a woman is allowed to tie the strings of a hairnet or a hat, which we've learned earlier in the Masechta about that women would wear these hats or snuds or something, and they would tie them, they'd tie them to their hair. So you're allowed to tie those ties. And we'll see, for each one of them, we'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush is, because on the face of it, if you untie it every day, what's the chiddush? Of course you're allowed to. Vishalpaskia or psikia or whatever. Also the strings of a belt. A psikia is a belt, a little bit like our gautlach, where you have a bunch of strings hanging from each end of it. And you, unlike, let's say, with a belt nowadays, where you, unlike a typical belt nowadays, you use a buckle or whatever to hold it closed. This one, you took the strings and tied them together, and that's how the belt stayed closed. So you're allowed to do that. Uritzuris minova sandal, also the straps of a shoe or a sandal, and that we're going to deal with extensively in the Gemara, because there are different kinds of knots that can be made in shoes, that some of which are also and some of which are mutter, so we'll see. Venodis yayin v'shemen, also bags of wine or oil. Those were you'd usually tie the top of them closed. You're allowed to tie and untie those knots on Shabbos, as we'll see in the Gemara. Ukdera shalbasar, and a pot of meat. They would tie, Rashi describes, sometimes they would tie a cloth over the top of the pot. So you're allowed to tie and untie that on Shabbos. Normally it has a cover, but I guess maybe if it didn't have, nowadays you use a cover. In those times, maybe because you didn't have the cover, maybe the cover didn't fit, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. Sometimes they would tie a cloth over it. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, here's another one. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Koshrin lifnei behema b'shvil shalei teitzei, you're allowed to tie a rope in front of an animal across the door so it doesn't go out. So you have an open door, but there again, let's say for whatever reason you can't close the door of a barn or whatever. Well, a barn usually has a door also, but let's say for whatever reason you can't close the door. So you'd have a, maybe for example you want the animal to have fresh air, whatever it is. So you have a rope tied across the door, so you're allowed to tie and untie that on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Hog Gufa Kasha. Now you seem to have a contradiction in the Mishnah. Amrit, you start by saying, Yesh Ksharan She'en Chayavan Alein, Kekeshra Gamolon, Kekeshra Saponin. You're saying there are certain kinds of knots for which you're not chayav, like you would be for the ones of camel drivers and boaters and sailors, implying Chiyuvahu Deleka, implying that the kind of knots we're going to be dealing with, you're not chayav for making because they're not a Kesher Shokayama, they're not a permanent knot. And according to the Rif and the Rambam, they're not necessarily a Kesher Shal Uman. Ha Isura Ika, implying though that there was some kind of Isur in them. Then you continue that a woman is allowed to tie the strings of her shirt, implying Afilachila. So what is it? Is it that these knots that we're listing in the Mishnah are things that are also drabanan, or are they things that are mutter completely? And the answer is Hochikama. What the Mishnah means is as follows. Yesh ksharim she'en chayav alein kesher gamol kesher saponim. There are certain kinds of knots for which you do not chayav. However, they are still also drabanan, and the Mishnah does not list what those are. Umay nihu, we're going to fill in what are those knots that are also drabanan. Kitra dekatri bizmama, bekitri dekatri beisterida. Those would be the knot that you tie on to the camel's nose ring, and the knot that you tie on to the ship's ring. So in other words, the idea is, now Rashi says, the point is that you don't necessarily undo those every day. Sometimes you might leave them there for a week or two. In the case of the boat, that's a little easier to understand because you might keep the boat tied up and docked for a week or two, or you might keep it anchored in one place in the ocean or in the lake or whatever for a week or two. In the case of the camel, Rashi doesn't. In the case of the camel, Rashi also says that you might just have that you're just going to untie the one. Let's say you have the camel tied to a pillar. So you might untie the one end that's attached to the pillar so the animal can move around, but keep the other end hanging from the animal's nose ring because you're still going to want it to lead around the animal or whatever. Now, the fact that Rashi mentions that you keep it there for a week or two, the Beis Yosef talks about, you see from that, therefore, that if a knot is meant to be there for less than a week, then apparently Rashi does not consider it to be a permanent knot. So in other words, again, we have the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam that the key thing is that there's two factors, whether it's a kesher uman, whether it's a craftsman's knot, a professional's knot, and whether it's permanent. According to them, you need both those criteria for it to be also daraisa, otherwise it's only, for it to be chayav daraisa, otherwise it's only also darabanan. And according to them, not necessarily is there any distinction between, according to them, but Pashtos, there's no such thing as a week or a month or whatever. It's either you're meant to be permanent, like the Kesher Gamolim or Kesher Saponim, or not. In the case of the knots we're describing over here, but Pashtos, in other words, they are craftsman's knots. They're not necessarily the kind of knot that the average person would know how to tie, but they're not permanent, and therefore they're only Dirabanan. Whereas according to Rashi and the Rosh, who say that it doesn't matter whether it's Kesher Uman or not, it just matters how permanent it is. So according to them, so the Beis Yosef wants to say, therefore, that it comes out that according to Rashi, you would say that if a knot is meant to be untied in less than a week, it's not considered a permanent knot. Now, there is a good deal of discussion about that among the Achronim, about all the pros and cons of that. So the Maskana is, we don't necessarily say that, because after all, Rashi is not clearly saying that if it's less than a week, then it's allowed. It could be Rashi is just mentioning a week or 2 weeks, because that's taka how it happens to be. When you keep the boat docked, or when you keep the animal, when you keep the string, the rope tied to the animal's nose, it happens to be you leave it there for a week or two. Maybe Rashi would say that even if it was less than that, it might be a problem. So the actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, if it's a knot that you're going to untie within 24 hours, then you're definitely allowed to tie it, even a regular knot. But if you're going to keep it there any more than 24 hours, then you're not necessarily allowed to, and you can't untie it either, because any knot that you can't tie, you can't untie on Shabbos. Except it talks about maybe makom mitzvah or makom tzar. Maybe then you have some aterim if the knot was at least meant to be there less than a week. So in other words, if it's less than a day, then you're allowed to, according to everybody. But if it's more than a day, but less than a week, then you're really not supposed to do it. But when you have a b'shasat chak, or when there's tzar or whatever, then you can be matir. We're not talking about where, for example, it was a bow tie. Bow ties we're going to deal with in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem. That those you have more of a heter for, because those are not a real knot. We're talking about a regular double knot or whatever, any of that. Yeah. Because they want to be able to control. Why did they put it? What did they put? They put in Rashi describes it as they put in a ritzua. They put in a strap, like a leather or something, and tie the two ends of it together to make a ring. And then afterwards you put a rope through that ring and use it to tie up the animal or to lead it around or whatever. Right? So the knot that goes in the nose is meant to be there forever. The knot in the rope that's attached to it, Rashi says sometimes you might leave it there for a week or two before you untie it. The animal can sleep with yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
What about with the shoelace?
One second, Pinchas is asking something, right?
What about with the shoelace? Sometimes a shoelace, which is meant to untie right away, becomes knotted because it's meant to be undone within 24 hours.
Sometimes when you tie a shoelace with a bow, right, it becomes knotted. So there you have. I mean, usually most shoelaces you usually untie every day, so then it would be mutter, as we just said. We're actually going to discuss soon the whole matter of shoelaces soon in the Gemara, but... other than that, if you're not the kind of person who unties your shoes every day, then you may have more of an issue with it. Then it may be mutter only if it's mishum tzar, like for example, you can't get off the shoe without untying it. Then you might have more of a heter for that if it's the kind of thing where at least you usually untie it once every few days or something. One other thing it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a knot that you're not able to untie, sometimes you're allowed to just cut through the knot. Yeah, you can use a shoehorn or just, yeah, sometimes people also tie their shoes and they have them, they're not tied so tightly. We're going to talk about that in the Gemara soon, actually, where they can slip their foot in and out. All right. Yeah. So that's the thing. So in Shulchan Aruch, it also mentions that point of the Rif and the Rambam about knots of professionals, where they're forced. Now the problem is also we don't know nowadays what kind of knots are made by professionals and not. So therefore, you have to. So therefore, the bottom line is that if you have a knot that's meant to be kept for more than 24 hours, then you may have an issue. This is also negev, by the way. For example, you're taking out the trash on Shabbos. You can't tie the bag with a double knot. You can tie with a bow tie, for example. But yeah. By the way, also it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, you know, this is, we're talking about, there's a difference, for example, between a single knot and a double knot when you're doing two strings or whatever. Let's say when you're tying shoelaces, if you tie shoelaces or you tie the top of a garbage bag or whatever with a single knot, fine. There's no permanence to it. So therefore there's no problem. But for example, if you have a single string and you tie a single knot at one end of it, that's also shokayama, because after all, that'll last. Think about it. If, let's say, for example, you have, speaking of shoelaces, let's say when you have, sometimes the end of the shoelace starts fraying. So you tie a single knot at one end of it. That would also be a problem because it is shokayama. It will last. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on. So the mission. So the Gemara is saying again. The Mishnah is telling us that there are certain kinds of knots which are also dirabbanon because they're meant to be semi-permanent, because you keep them for a week or two at a time. So with those kinds, there's no chiyuv. It's not also daraisa. Ha'isura'ika, but it is also derabanan. Then there are a third category of knots, the kind that amutu lachatchila umayniu kasheres mafteicha chaloka, and they are, for example, the one where the woman is allowed to tie the ties on her shirt, etc. So there are three different kinds. There are kinds that are also daraisa, kinds that are also derabanan, and kinds that are mutu. Okay. So let's start off. The Mishnah had said Mafteach Chalukah. She's allowed to tie the ties of her shirt. So the Gemara says Pshita. Obviously, how else is he supposed to get dressed on Shabbos? The answer is Loitzricha de Islay Trei Dash. Yes, but the chiddush of the Mishnah is that, let's say, for example, the shirt has two ties. So like Rashi had said on the Mishnah, one on each side, for example. Mao detem echodim inayo batul mivatul. So you might think maybe she might just be mivato one. She might plan, you know what, one of them I'll keep closed permanently. I'll keep tied permanently. And the other one, every time I want to take off the shirt or every time I want to put it on, I'll just tie the one. And I'll slip, it'll be a little tighter slipping it on and off, but it's still manageable. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah tells us we don't say that because it's hard to do that. So Rashi actually says if you were to say that she was going to be mivatal it, adrabba, Rashi says if you don't know, you wouldn't know then which one she plans to be mivatal. So maybe both of them are going to be also. But the Kamash Malan is that we don't say that. We don't say both of them are going to be also because we're not sure which one, either because it's going to be hard to take it off with untying only one, or because what's going to happen? Sometimes she's going to untie one, sometimes she's going to untie the other. Therefore, neither of them is permanently, therefore she's not really mivatal either of them permanently. Even if it happens that sometimes she takes it off, untying only one tie, but a different time she'll untie the other tie. So therefore, it's allowed. Then we said b'chutei svacha, the strings of a hairnet. So again, the question is pshita, and the answer is lo tzricha d'revichala. Let's say she tied it on her head loosely. So ma'u detema mishlef shalvala. So you might think in that case she's not going to have to untie the ties; she can just slip it off. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah tells us you don't have to worry about that. The Isha Chosa al Sara, because the woman is concerned about her hair. What if one time she does tie it more tightly than usual, and then if she tries to pull it off, she's going to pull off her hair with it. So therefore she's never going to do that. She's always going to untie it. And therefore we don't have to worry that she's mevatel the knots, therefore, and then it's going to come out that it was a permanent knot. Mishra Shavyala, therefore she'll untie it rather than slipping it off. Rashi says the Gemara doesn't mention the case of the paski or the case of the belt, but the same thing would apply. In other words, that conceivably she could take off the belt. The paschos a paski, apparently Rashi is learning, is a belt that was worn by women. So you could conceivably she could take it off just instead of untying it just by slipping it down her hips and taking it off by way of her feet, but she's not going to do that because it's tznius. So therefore we don't have to worry about it. She's surely going to untie it, and therefore she's not mavatol. It was meant to be untied within 24 hours, and therefore we're good. Then we said, Uritsuis minova sandal. We said that straps of shoes and sandals, you're allowed to tie and untie on Shabbos. So now we have to discuss that at length. Itmar. So we have a discussion of Amiroyim like this. Hitir Ritsuis minova sandal. If a person unties the straps of a shoe or a sandal on Shabbos, what is the din? Toni chod chayev chatas. One braisa says that he's chayev chatas, meaning that it would be a kesher d'oraisa. That it would be a not d'oraisa that he's chayev on. V'tanya idach poter aval aser. Another one says poter aval aser, which means drabonon. V'tanya idach muter l'chatchila. And then you have another one that says that's muter l'chatchila. So that all three kinds, so you have three different braises that are telling us the three different possible dinim that you can have with knots. Kasha mino amino, kasha sandal asandal. So you have a contradiction between these braises about the din of shoes and about the din of sandals. Are you allowed to tie them and untie them on Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says like this: Mino amino loikasha. There's no contradiction with the various braises as far as shoes, because like this: Hodikatoni chayev chatos vidushkafi. When you say chayev chatos, is the knots that were made to begin with by the shoemaker. When the shoemaker makes the shoes, he puts in. You have shoes also have straps on them. So the shoes they had in those times weren't necessarily completely like our shoes, where you just have an upper and a sole sewn together, and there aren't really straps or knots in it. But Pashas, we're talking, it was a little more like a, it was shaped a little bit more like a sandal. But yeah, there's different Rishonim talk about different possibilities. A sandal is made of hard leather, a minnow is made of soft leather. A sandal only covers the bottom of the foot, and then you have straps over the top of it. A minnow covers more of the foot. A minnow is made out of many pieces of leather sewn together. But whatever, apparently a minnow also includes straps. You have, when the shoemaker makes the shoe in the first place, there are certain places he puts in straps and ties them, and those are permanent. There's no reason those should ever be untied. And following the Rif and the Rambam, also they're a Kesher Uman. They're professionals, not they're, because after all, the shoemaker is a professional. So if a person were to untie those on Shabbos, that would be what he's Chayev Chatas. That would be like the camel drivers and the sailors, knots that we mentioned in the first Mishnah. Potter Aval Osir would be Bidirabonon. What would be Potter Aval Osir would be the kind of knots that would be the kind of knots that are on the shoes of the Chachamim. Now, what's different about the shoes of the Chachamim? Rashi explains, like we were talking about a minute ago, they don't necessarily untie their shoes before they take them off. They tie them on in such a way that they're a little bit looser on their foot in the first place. Now, so the point is, on the one hand, they are sort of a Kesher Shokayama. I mean, they sometimes untie them and retight them more tightly. Namely, Rashi explains when it's muddy out in the streets, because what happens then if you have your shoe is going to get stuck in the mud. If it's loosely on your foot, it's going to get stuck and come off your foot in the mud. So therefore, when it's muddy and rainy outside, then you would untie them and tie them on your foot a little more tightly. So it's not a Kesher Shokayama, but nevertheless, it is the kind of thing where they don't untie it every day. They keep it there for a while at a time. There are other, and the point is also, the reason why we're mentioning the Rabbanon, according to this, is because since the Rabbanon sit much of the day and learn Torah, they're not working at hard physical labor necessarily, so they don't have to tie their shoes on tightly because there's less of a concern that they're going to fall off. If you're sitting all day in the Beis Medrash, then there's no problem wearing your shoes a little more loosely. That could also be they don't want to untie their shoes and get their hands dirty. Could be. There's a different explanation. There's a different explanation also that the Rabbanon learn all week, and during the week they don't necessarily get changed to go to sleep. Only on Shabbos. So it could happen. For example, they put on their shoes one day and they're wearing the shoes for a few days in succession, because it's like they have to sleep at some point, because as the Gemara says, a person can't go 3 days without sleep. But the point is, like, they sleep, they can't nap for a little bit in the Beis Medrash, and then they go back to learning. They don't necessarily get changed for bed, so they don't necessarily take off their shoes. Anyway, so that would be the case. If a person unties those on Shabbos, then it would be also Drabbanon. Mutter l'hatchila b'dibnei mechuzah. When would it be mutter l'hatchila? Would be the kind of shoe ties that are done by the people of mechuzah. As we've learned before, the people of mechuzah are rich and pampered. Rashi uses the expression over here, rach ve'levav. They're broad-hearted, like they're very careful about the levushim. So they're very careful to tie their shoes very precisely and very tightly. Well, therefore, obviously, they have to untie them every day, because you can't sleep with shoes tied tightly on your feet. Rachvei leva, malashin roichav. They have a broad heart. In other words, like they're very pampered, and they're very, very, very particular about their appearance and all. So they tie their shoes very tightly, and therefore, obviously, they have to untie them every day, as opposed to the Rabbanon, we say, who tie their shoes on more loosely. So that explains the three braises as far as shoes. Sandalas. So therefore, obviously, when our Mishnah says you're allowed to tie and untie shoes on Shabbos, it's talking about, for example, the shoes of the people of Mechuzah. Then sandala sandala kasha. Then there's no contradiction as far as the cases involving the sandals. When it comes to sandals, when would it be chayev chatas? Would be when we're talking about sandals of Yishma'elim, of Arab merchants, where again, when the shoemaker makes it, he ties the straps in with a permanent knot, and those straps are never meant to be taken off. So those kind, if you untie them on Shabbos, you chayev chatas. Potter aval osir would be b'dechumarta dekatri inhu. Then when we say potter aval osir, would be the kind of knots that they themselves tie. So you yourself, when you're putting on the shoe, the sandals belonging to the Arabs, we just said, the shoemaker himself puts in the straps to begin with and ties them on with permanent knots. As opposed to most people, when they wear sandals, they don't do that. They put in the straps and knot them themselves. Again, they're not necessarily meant to stay that way permanently. And according to the Rif and the Rambam, they're not a Kesher Shel Uman either. But nevertheless, they do keep them there. They do keep them there for a while, a week, a month, and then they untie them. So that would be the kind Potter Aval Osir, because again, it's not a permanent knot. And according to the Rif and the Rambam, it's not a Kesher Shel Uman. but it's left there for some, it's left there for some period of time, more than a week, exactly. Well, according to Rashi and the Rosh, the key thing is that it's left there more than a week. According to the Rif and the Rambam, it wouldn't matter how long it is. The point is, it's not a permanent knot, but nevertheless, there is according to them, what it is you need. So according to them, what it is you have to have for it to be also derabanan. It's either a permanent knot or a craftsman's knot. So according to them, this would be with sandals belonging to everybody else, not the Arab merchants. It would be one or the other. But Pashtus, I guess the idea is the Arab merchants walk around in the desert a lot, so they have to make sure that their sandal straps are professionally made, whereas everybody else is just walking around in the street with sandals, and therefore they don't care about it as much. And then mutal hatchila would be the sandal the nafki be beitre. When would be mutal hatchila would be the kind of straps where two different people wear those same sandals. So therefore, each one is a different size. Each one has to adjust them to his size. So therefore, you're always going to be tying and untying them anyway. And therefore it's mutal even hatchila. So we had, for example, Rabbi Yehuda and his wife who shared a coat. So here we have an example. Kidu Rabbi Yehuda, as we have the example of what happened with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda achud Rabbi Sala Chassida. Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Sala Chassida. So apparently his brother was more famous than he was. Anyway, so this Rabbi Yehuda, Havalayahu Zuga de Sandali, he had a pair of sandals. Zimnin de Nafik Bey Ihu, Zimnin de Nafik Bey Yenuke. Sometimes he would wear them. Sometimes he'd go out wearing them. Sometimes his son would go out wearing them. They'd take turns. So he came one time to ask a shayla by Abaya, are you allowed to tie that? What do we do on Shabbos? He says, what would be the din in this case? Is it mutter or is it osur to tie and untie them on Shabbos? And Abaya tells him it's chayav chatas. Rabbi Yehuda was very surprised. Amalei says, "Pashta potter avol also kakashali." I would have found it strange, even if you told me that it's potter avol also. That's also drabanan. I would have wondered why it's so. Chayav chatas kamertli, and all of a sudden you're telling me it's also daraisa. What's going on over here? Because Abaya didn't realize that we're talking about where they have to each adjust it to their size. He thought we're talking about regular sandals where you're putting in the straps, and therefore it can be either also drabanan or chayav chatas, depending, as we said, whether it was made by the shoemaker or not. So Abaya asked him, "My timer, why? What made you think that? What would have made you so surprised if I told you even that it was also drabanan? And now you're even more surprised when I tell you it's also daraisa." Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, "Mishum de b'chol nami, because on weekdays also zimnin defnik de be'ano, zimnin nafik be'inuka. Sometimes I wear them, sometimes my son wears them. So we're always untying and tying it to adjust it to our size anyway." Amalei, Abaya tells him, that's different. Ihochi mutal hatchila. In that case, then it is actually mutal hatchila, because, in other words, if the idea was that only one person is wearing them and he puts in the straps, or a professional puts in the straps or whatever, and they're meant to stay that way, then it would be also drabanan if it wasn't meant to be permanent, and chayav daraisa if it was. But since over here, every day they're tying and untying it so that he can wear it or his son can wear it, then therefore that's the equivalent of what we said before, of any other knot, which is being tied and untied every day, and therefore it's mutter. Well, he didn't actually. I mean, not necessarily did he explain the question in the first place. Rashi does say, yes, Shani Matirei Achshav V'Noyel B'ni, that I'm going to take it off now and my son is going to put it on. Because what it is because he hadn't clarified that he does that all the time. So Abaya thought maybe it's a one-time thing he's asking about. Usually Rabbi Yehuda wears these shoes. Today, these sandals. Punk, today it happens that that his son needs to wear them. So then, if it was made, l'chatchila, that it was meant to be permanent, and now all of a sudden you're changing it, then it would be chayav chatas. But then when Rabbi Yehuda clarifies that actually we do that all the time, even during the week, then Abaya tells him it's mutal l'chatchila. That's what it is. To be mutal, right. Right. Because again, the idea is, given that, so according to Rashi, because it would be strictly a question of how long is it meant to stay there, where again, according to where again, the initial assumption was that it was the straps that are put in permanently and meant to stay there, and now all of a sudden we have reason to be untied. That would think of it like it would be like we talked about yesterday. For example, we had with the nets that they used to trap the chalazon. Usually, when they tied on the ropes onto the nets, they would keep them there permanently. But it could happen unexpectedly for whatever reason that you have to take a rope off one net and put it onto another. So Abaya thought that that was the equivalent of this case over here that you have. It was known that these sandals are sized for Rabbi Yehuda, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it happened that they needed to do it for the son. Now, when he explains to him that actually, every day when we put in the straps, we have in mind that we're going to be chaining, we're going to be switching it back and forth between us, then it's mutar l'hatchila. Okay. Another case, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiya have a ka'ozel basri de Rababohu b'karmelis. Rabbi Yirmiya was walking behind Rababohu as a Talmud, and they were walking in Karmelis. If sik ritzua de sandalay, a strap of Rabbi Yirmiya's sandal broke. Omale my nevidla. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked, "What can I do about it? I don't want to leave the sandal over here. What do I do in order to be able to and I can't retie it on Shabbos, obviously. Omale. So Rabbi Bohu tells him, shkil gemi lach. Take some fresh gemi. Gemi is a kind of grass. It's kind of grass. We've talked about it before. Of dechazi lemaichel behema, this fresh grass is suitable for an animal to eat. Therefore, it's not mukta. We're not talking about picking it out of the ground. Obviously, that would be a different malacha. But in other words, there was gemi lach lying around there. Let's say so. Take some of that, which is roi lemaichel behema, ukroich ilavei, and wrap it around that. And that way, you'll be able to wear the shoe back home. And then you'll be able to fix it after Shabbos. Another example, Abaya have a koi kamed Rabbi Yosef. Abaya was standing in front of Rabbi Yosef as a Talmud. If sikle ritzua, one of the straps of a sandal broke. Amale my evidle. So he asked Rabbi Yosef, what can I do with it? Amale shavke. So here what happened is, here they were in Rishus HaYachid. Here they were in Rishus HaYachid. So it's not a problem of carrying it. But Abaya asked, what can I do with it? I want to continue wearing the shoe. So Rabbi Yosef tells him, just leave it there. So the question is, my shnamid Rabbi Yirmiya, why is it any different? Why can't he also take a piece of fresh gemi and tie it around? The answer is hasam le minter hocham minter. The answer is that over there, in Rabbi Yirmiya's case, it wasn't going to be protected because it was in Karmelis, so anybody could walk off with it. Here it is. Now, why should that make a difference if it's protected or not? Since when do we allow, if the sandal is mukta, then why should it make a difference? So the Meiri actually brings a possibility. Maybe when it comes to things of mukta, maybe when it's in a place where it's not going to be where it's not going to be safe, maybe you'd be allowed to take gemi lach, for example, and use it like to make the shoe usable again. Most of the Rishonim don't agree with that, though, and they bring something that the Rashba and many other Rishonim bring something that the Ravid explains, which is like this. If this happens in Karmelis, you're not going to want to leave the shoe there because somebody else may take it and use it for something else. Therefore, you yourself have in mind that you are going to continue using it as a shoe. So therefore, it doesn't become mukta. So therefore, you're allowed to tie some gemi on it in order to continue using it as a shoe. As opposed to in the chotzer, nobody's going to take it there anyway. Then nobody's going to take it there. So therefore you'll plan to just, okay, I'll leave it there till after Shabbos. I'm not going to bother with it right now. If anything, maybe conceivably you could use it on Shabbos for a different purpose, but you're not going to be using it as a shoe on that Shabbos, and therefore you can't take gemi lach. Therefore, you just have to leave it there until after Shabbos, because in effect, in other words, it became mukta because you're not planning. That's the difference. In other words, if it's in Karmelis, you have in mind it could conceivably be used for something else. Because if I leave it over here, somebody else is going to pick it up, and they could use it for something else. They could use it to cover a container or whatever, you know. Whereas in the chotzer, you're not going to have in mind that anybody's going to use it for anything else because you yourself are just going to leave it there till after Shabbos and then fix it. So when this, that's the thing. So the Meiri mentions, for example, just like we have in the last perek of our Masechta, we're going to talk about if, let's say, a person is coming home late on Erev Shabbos and he doesn't have any place to put his money bag, then in certain cases, he's allowed to carry it pochas midalat amas, or put it on the back of an animal or whatever, or do various things that usually would be also dirabanan in this case. So the Meiri says maybe something is similar over here. But again, most of the Rishonim disagree with that and say it's just a matter of what he has in mind. Would he have in mind that in future he plans to use the sandal for some, this broken sandal for something else, or does he plan to fix it and continue using it as a sandal? Okay. Well, but you can't tie it on Shabbos is the point. So therefore you can tie it. No, so that's the point. You can't tie, but Demi Lach, you're tying, it's not a permanent knot. You're going to untie it right after Shabbos and get the shoe fixed. So the only question is, are you allowed to move the shoe, or is it considered muktzah? Okay. So the question is, v'ham manahu, why would we say it's muktzah anyway? It should be considered a keli. The boy hafichna le miyamin l'smoil, because after all, Abaye is asking, now the sandal has two straps. Now you have like this. The sandal has two tarsius, it's called. Tarsius are loops that are attached to the sole of the sandal, which the straps that go over your foot go through those loops. So now the question is like this: which loop is it that broke? If it's the loop on the outside of the shoe that broke, then it's a gnai to wear it because it doesn't look nice. Even after you fix it, it's always going to look like it was patched up. So therefore you might not ever use it again. You might just use the sandal for something else now and go get a new pair of sandals. As opposed to if the one on the inside gets broken, it's not as noticeable anyway because it's on the inside of your foot. So therefore you might get it fixed. So therefore, Abaye is asking, why are we considering it muktzah even if it's in Rosh Hashanah Yochid? It is possible to use from now on. They didn't have in those times, they didn't have shoes and sandals shaped like you have nowadays for right feet and left feet. This is the same one you could use on either foot. So it is possible to turn it from the right to the left. In other words, right now it was the outside loop that got broken, but I could conceivably start using it instead on my other foot where that side will be on the inside, and then it's roi to fix. So therefore it should still be considered a keli. So why should it be mukta? In other words, Rashi is saying that's the reason why Rabbi Yosef said it's also to carry it is because it's not going to be the kind of thing that is going to be fixed in the future because it was the outside one. So Abaye asked, why not? The outside could become the inside. So Rabbi Yosef answers him, since, as we're going to discuss now, you have a case that Rabbi Yochanan explains in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, about this kind of case where the loops on a sandal break, shmamina halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that shows that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that whichever loop breaks, it doesn't matter, and the shoe is not, and the sandal is not considered a sandal anymore. So therefore, we're back to its mukta. Maihi, what is that case of where Rabbi Yehuda is talking about, and where Rabbi Yochanan said, and where Rabbi Yochanan explains something according to Rabbi Yehuda? So like this, Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Sandal shenifsiku shtei oznav. Now we have to explain a second before we start this how the sandals in those days were constructed. The typical sandal you had like this. You have a flat piece of leather which forms the sole of the sandal. Then you have attached to it on the front and the back by the toes and by the heel, you had two pieces of leather sticking out, which were used as like handles to help put it on. So sort of like you were talking before about a shoehorn. So this was similar. You'd use them to help put the sandal on your foot. They're called in the Gemara here oznayim. And then you have those are on the front and the back of it. And then you have on the two sides of the shoe, on the inside and the outside of your foot, you had a loop, which then the straps which go over your foot would go through those loops. And as we said before, some of those knots would be tied permanently, some of them would be tied non-permanently. So the Mishnah says, sandal shenifsku shtei oznav, a sandal where both of the handles were broken. Again, the handles on the front and back that are meant to help put it on. Or if both of its loops were broken. Or if the entire sole of the sandal is missing. In all those cases, Tahar, it's not Makabal Tumah anymore because it's not a functional Kaili. But achas me oznav, if one of its, if only one of its handles was broken, or achas me tausiyosav, or only one of its loops, or if most of the soul is missing but not all of it, tome, then it's still makabel tuma, because it's still somewhat functional, because it can be fixed. In the case where part of the soul is missing, the pashtus, the idea is maybe it depends what part of the bottom of the soul is missing. You can have, if let's say for example the heel end and the toe end are still intact and you have a hole in the middle, big deal. Most people have an arch in their foot, so the bottom of their foot is not going to be touching the ground anyway with that. Or it could be, let's say, you could still use it, let's say, to walk around in mud. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nifsika Pnimis Tomei, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends as far as the tausius. If the one to the inside of his foot was broken, then the sandal is still makabel tuma because it can be fixed. Hachitzoina tohor, but if the one to the outside was broken, then it's tohor, then it's not makabel tuma anymore. Again, because you're not going to fix it because it'll be gnai, because it'll look bad that it was fixed. The same machloikas that there is as far as Tumah Batara is also as far as Shabbos. The Tanakama who holds that, the Tanakama and the Braisa, who holds that as long as only one loop or one handle is missing, then it's still functional, he would say, therefore, also as far as Shabbos, the sandal is still not mukta. You're allowed to wrap gemi or whatever around it and continue wearing it, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would depend whether it was the inner or the outer one. Abel loyla inyan chalitza. But Rabbi Yochanan says, not when it comes to chalitza. Now we have to figure out what that means. When Rabbi Yochanan is saying that they agree that whatever they're saying as far as Tumah, they would also say as far as Shabbos, but not as far as Chalitza, that they agree. In other words, as far as Chalitza, what does he mean by that? V'havinan, or Rabbi Yochanan al libe deman, which Tana is Rabbi Yochanan talking according to? Ilema al libe de Rabbanan, is he talking according to the Rabbanan and saying midil inyan Tumah monahavi le inyan Shabbos nami monahavi, saying that since if only one loop breaks, the Chachamim are considering it that it's still makabel Tumah, therefore they would also consider that it's still a keli as far as Shabbos. But we would say ava loyla chalitza delav monahu. But we would say not as far as chalitza, because for purposes of chalitza we would not consider it a keli. The problem with that is, why not? We say if you do chalitza, now you have to do chalitza from the right foot of the yavam. But if you take a left sandal and put it on a sandal that was made for the left foot and put it on the yavam's right foot, and she does chalitza, then it would be kosher. So you. The Yavama himself puts on the shoe, and then the Yavama, what? The Yavama is the one who takes it off. The Yavama, the sister-in-law, the one whose husband passed away, childless, is the one who takes it off his foot. So we're saying that if he took a left sandal and put it on his right foot, then she does chalitza, then that would, and she unties it from his right foot, then that would be kosher. It doesn't have to be a shoe that was made for the right foot. So why are we saying that if you have a left sandal where the outside loop broke, you're saying that's not considered a keli anymore, and therefore you can't do chalitza with it? Why ever not? Same way as the Rabbanan are saying that it's a keli as far as Shabbos, the pashtus are saying because you could still put it on the other side, you could start wearing it as a right sandal, and then you fix it and it doesn't look like such a gnai. The same thing should apply as far as chalitza. So evidently, Rabbi Yochanan must be talking according to Rabbi Yehuda and saying like this, Midil inyan tumah lav monahu, that since regarding tumah v'tara, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not considered a keli, once one loop breaks, and Rabbi Yehuda is not even distinguishing which loop it was, so according to him, one loop breaks, it's already not makabel tumah, therefore the inyan Shabbos lav monahu, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that as far as Shabbos, it's also not considered a keli, and therefore it's mukta. Ava loy l'chalitza de monahu. But on the other hand, when it comes to chalitza, he wouldn't say that. He would say it still is considered a keli because you could switch it around to the other foot. Because again, if it was a left sandal and the outside one broke, or for that matter, if it was a right sandal and the inside one broke, then you could still use it on the right foot. The problem with that is, you know, when you would say that if she uses a left, that if a left shoe is put on the right foot, then it would be kosher for chalitza, that would be hecha de la milse monohu. That would only apply where it is still usable in its original place. Because after all, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you have, so you have a left shoe, you have a left shoe which can't be used on the right foot, which can't be used on the left foot anymore because of the outside loop broke and it'll be ignited to fix it, so it's not considered a keli anymore. When you have an intact left sandal and you're putting it on the right shoe on the right foot, sure, you could say that's considered valid because it could have still been used as a left sandal. Over here, it's not considered a keli anymore. Because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if the outside, sorry, we did say Rabbi Yehuda distinguished between the inside and the outside loops, but nevertheless, the point is, he says the outside loop is broken, then it's tahor without distinguishing between right and left sandals. So we see that even if it's the left sandal and it's the outer one, Rabbi Yehuda is still saying that as far as Tumah and as far as Shabbos, it's not a keli. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about the fact that you could switch it to the other foot. So why by chalitza would he be moider that it's kosher when you have the same thing as a left sandal that can't be used anymore as a left sandal? So why would Rabbi Yochanan be saying, if we're going to understand that Rabbi Yochanan saying that he's talking according to Rabbi Yehuda, why would Rabbi Yehuda be moider that it should be kosher for chalitza? Because after Rabbi Yehuda says that if the outer one is broken, then it's tahor without distinguishing between the right or the left, which means Rabbi Yehuda says once the outer loop is broken, it's not a keli, period, regardless, even if it was the left sandal and you could now start wearing it on the right sandal and have that loop on the inside. So why would he say that it's okay for chalitza then? The answer is la'olam alibad Rabbi Yehuda. You have to actually say that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ema v'chein l'chalitza. What you would say is instead, you have to correct what Rabbi Yochanan said. When he said, ava loy l'chalitza, correct it, and he's saying v'chein l'chalitza. Just so it is also for chalitza. And it means like this. So therefore, the chiddush is as follows. In other words, we're still talking according to Rabbi Yehuda. Precisely what we just said. When do we say that if you use a left sandal on the right foot, then it's a kosher chalitza, hecha de la milse monahu, where it's usable as a keli for its original purpose? So you have an intact left sandal that could still be used as a left sandal, and instead you choose to use it on the right foot. So then it would be a kosher chalitza. But over here, if the loop broke, then it's no longer usable as a keli. Then it's no longer used because, again, you wouldn't ever wear it like that, even if you fix it, because it's a gnai, because it looks bad. We're wearing fixed shoes, like wearing fixed sandals like that. Therefore you wouldn't fix it. You would just and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't care about the fact that you could wear it on the right foot, because the fact is you can't wear it as an original place. It was made to begin with to be on the left foot, and now you can't wear it on the left foot anymore. So he would say that it's possible for chalitza. So Rashi explains, in other words, there's no real chiddush according to the Chachamim if we said v'chein l'chalitza, because of course if the Chachamim consider it a keli regarding Tumah v'Tahara and regarding Shabbos, obviously they would consider it also valid as far as chalitza. The chiddush is according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even though Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you use a left sandal on the right foot, it's kosher, but he would distinguish between one that's still intact and able to be worn on the left foot versus this one which cannot. So they were interchangeable, but they were made primarily to be used on the right foot. You could switch them in a pinch. I mean, even nowadays, when shoes are fitted to the right foot and the left foot, sometimes you have people wear them. Sometimes you have people wear them the other way around. I've had podiatrists tell my kids sometimes that, you know, if their feet are a little bit crooked, sometimes it's good to wear the shoes on the opposite feet in order to, yeah. But in general, you wear them on the right feet. So yeah. Okay. So the point is that we see, so Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, we see that Rabbi Yochanan went to the trouble of explaining Rabbi Yehuda's shita, Therefore, that implies he holds the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then if the outer one breaks, then it's not considered a keli anymore as far as Shabbos. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, that's what I'm telling you, therefore, that you're not allowed to take some gemi and tie it around the broken part of your shoe and be able to wear it. You just have to leave it here in the chotzer and then do something and then figure out what you're going to do with it after Shabbos. And so according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, that's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even though you could conceivably switch it, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about that. He still says it's not able to be worn as a left shoe anymore, which is what it was made for. Therefore, you're not allowed. Therefore, the fact that you could switch it to the right foot doesn't matter. Doesn't make it a keli. Leaning to him the same thing. He says it's not considered a keli anymore. So now the question is, Umi Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yechanan really say that then? That the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We know Rabbi Yochanan also says a general rule that the halacha is like a stam mishnah or tnan, and we learn in a mishnah in Masechet Kelim, sandal shenifsika achas me'ozna v'tikna. If you have a sandal where one of its handles was broken, now we're going to focus on the handles rather than before we were focusing on the loops. Again, the handles are at the front and the back of the shoe, and the loops are on the two sides. So if one of the handles broke off and you fixed it, tame midras, the sandal is still tame midras if it belonged to a zav. Nifsika shniya v'tikna. Then, if the second one also broke off and you fixed it, tohu milatami midras. At that point, it doesn't have tumas midras anymore. Aval tome maga midras, but it's tome for the fact it's tome as a rishon l'truma because it touched midras because it touched itself. The shoe itself still had still. So in other words, now Rashi explains like this: that when we say we fixed the first one, we don't mean necessarily that it doesn't really matter. The reason why we're mentioning he fixed the first one is to tell us a chiddush. Then even if he fixed the first one, but then later on the second one broke, we're still saying that's not considered a functional keli anymore. And not that it's not a functional keli. Sorry, it's considered what the Gemara is going to call soon ponim chadoshes bo lakan. It's like a new keli. In other words, if you hadn't fixed the first one, all the more so. When the second one breaks off, then all the more so, it's considered like a new keli now, even if you were to fix them both afterwards. So it's still a rishon l'truma. It is usable as a keli. Now you notice over here in Rashi, there are two different versions. Rashi originally explained that what happened is even after both of them break off, it's still considered a keli in that you could use them for other purposes. So it's not meant to be used as a shoe anymore. Therefore it can't be tummy midras. But when the second handle broke off, at that point it was still the sandal was still touching itself because it's still all one big piece. Therefore, at that point it becomes a rishon l'truma. Because when it was an avatoma, it was still touching. So therefore, now it would be a rishon l'truma. And then Rashi changed his mind and wrote the pirush that you have in the body of Rashi, which is that we're talking about because the first one was fixed, then therefore, because the first one was fixed before the second one broke, we're saying only when the second one breaks, then therefore we're saying that then it becomes a rishon l'truma. But if you fix the first one, then it would still be tummy midras. According to the mainstream version of Rashi, we're saying there would be a difference actually whether he fixed the first one before the second one broke or not. Now we're talking about Oznov, but a similar din would apply as far as the Gemara is assuming that the same din would apply as far as the Tausiyosev, as far as the loops. So the question is, my lav loishna pnimis v'loishna chitzoina. So on the face of it, then the Mishnah is not distinguishing between the inner one or the outer one. Either way, if one of them broke, then it's still an avatar. It's still an avatoma. It's still matami midras. And if the other one broke, then not. That would be according to the Chachamim in the Machlokas that we had before with Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, that would show the if we say halacha kastam mishnah, then it would be that then it would mean the halacha is like the Chachamim. Not like we were just saying before that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, like pnimis stavka, not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about that these dinim apply when the inner one broke. But if the outer one broke, then we would say like Rabbi Yehuda that once the outer one breaks, then it's not an avatuma anymore because it can't be used as a sandal anymore. Okay, the Gemara asks, Abo Chitzoina Mai Tahor. So then what are you going to tell me? If the outer one broke, then it's Tahor. Ihochi, if so, Ad Tani Nifsek Lashnia Batikna, then why would the Mishnah continue with the case where the second one broke and you fixed it? And we're saying Tahor Min HaMidras, Abo Tomei Magra Midras, that then it's not Makabal Tumas Midras anymore because it's not a shoe anymore, not a sandal anymore, but it's Maga Midras. It becomes a Rishon LaTumah because it was still touching when it was still touching at the last moment that it was an Avatumah. If you're going to say that there's a difference between the inner and the outer one, Niflig B'Dida, then the Mishnah should be making a distinction within the case itself. Even within the case of one of them breaking, there should be a difference. But Medvar Mamamcha Nifsika Pnimis, when would we say that it's still Tumas Midras, is when the inner one broke, where then if you fix it, it's not Sugnai, and therefore you might fix it and still use it as a shoe. Avo Chitzoina Tahor. But if the outer one broke, then it would be Tahor. If you're going to say that, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Tehei Mishnah Senu. You know what? You have to explain this Mishnah in Kalim, the sandal Shiesh Le Arba Oznaim Ba Arba Tres Yosim. You can have a sandal that doesn't just have two handles and two loops like regular sandals. You have one that has four handles and four loops. Shaloi Lishbo Dvarav Shereb Yechen, in order not to make Rabbi Yechen contradict himself, where on the one hand he was saying before the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, and on the other hand he's saying a Stam Mishnah, the halachas like a Stam Mishnah. So we can be talking about, when we talk about in the Mishnah, one of its Oznaim, or one of its tracios of broke off, and versus two, we'd be talking about that the two are both on the inner side, because you have four of them, two on the inside and two on the outside. So then, obviously, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same way as you can fix one, you can fix two. It's not a gnai. It's still not going to be so noticeable because it's on the inside of the foot. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would still consider it a keli. But yes, if one of the outer ones broke off, then in fact, Rabbi Yehuda would no longer consider it a keli. And as far as Shabbos and as far as Tumah, and we said before also as far as Chalitza. Okay. Next. Ki also Ravin Amar Rav Chanan Bar Abba Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. When Ravin came, he said that Rav Chanan Bar Abba said in the name of Rav, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rabbi Yechanan Amar Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Yechanan said the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So now, how does that fit with everything we said before? Umi Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yechanan really say that? V'ha Minim Taretz Rabbi Yechanan Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Given that we just said before, Rabbi Yechanan explained according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that shows that he held like Rabbi Yehuda, otherwise he wouldn't go to all the trouble of explaining his opinion. And by the way, you have such a concept the Rishonim talk about. At least sometimes we apply the rule. If we find that the Gemara discusses and that the Gemara is noisiv and noisin and deals with the details of somebody's opinion, then it shows the halacha is like him. So here also, if Rabbi Yechanan is doing that, doesn't it show that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So how is he saying ein halacha Rabbi Yehuda? That shows he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is Amiroyim Ninu Galibid Rabbi Yechanan. There's actually different Amiroyim who had different versions of what Rabbi Yechanan says. So Rabbi Baba Chana had said before that Rabbi Yechanan said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and now Ravin is saying that Rabbi Yechanan said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Two different opinions within what Rabbi Yechanan said. As far as what we said before, halacha kastam mishnah, the Gemara also sometimes uses not as far as halacha kastam mishnah. There's a different thing also that Rabbi Yechanan says a rule in the Gemara, and the Gemara mentions on that also, it's amiroi ninu valibud Rabbi Yechanan, where is this rule meant to be a blanket statement or not? So, but here what it is you have Rabbi Baba Chana reporting one version of what Rabbi Yechanan said, and Ravin reporting a different version. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Tnan hosam. Now we learn the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah from another Mishnah from Kalim and we're going to analyze it based on what we just said about the case of the sandal. Tnan hosam. Kol klei balibatim shiurin kerimonim. All Kalim that belong to balibatim, the shear. Up, we're talking about wooden kalim. Up to what size hole can they have and still be makabel tumah? We talked about this briefly earlier on Daf Tzadik Hey. If they have a hole the size where pomegranates will fall through. So when it comes to kalim that belong to that are being used to sell by a craftsman or whatever, then the shear is much smaller because once it has a hole, it can't be sold. But by balabatim, they don't care so much. So it has a small hole. Let's say I can't put liquids in it anymore. Big deal. I can put solids in it. I can put pomegranates in it. But once pomegranates fall out, then it's not makabel tumah anymore. So Boy Chizkiya, so Chizkiya asks the question as follows: Nikiv Kamotzi Zayis, what happens if the Kali developed a hole the size where an olive will fall out? V'sasma, then you closed up the hole. V'chaz of a nick of kamotzi zayis, then it developed another hole next to the first one, also the size of an olive. V'sasma, and then you filled that one up. Ad shishlimo lamotzi rimon, until you reach the point, the whole area that was patched is the size of a motzi rimon, but there was never a hole the size of a rimon at any one time. So mahu, what would be the din? Amalei Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan, who was Chizkiyah's Talmud, answers him, Rebbe, Shanisalanu, I'll answer based on a Mishnah and Kalim that you taught us. The Mishnah says, sandal that we did the Mishnah that we said before, sandal shenifsika achas me'azna v'tikna tamei midras. If one of its loops broke off, v'tikna, and you fixed it, tamei midras, it's still tamei midras, because you can still fix it and use it as a sandal. Again, we said before, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that might mean specifically if it was one of the inner ones that broke, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say if the outer ones broke, then not. Nifsika shniya v'tikna, if then the second one broke and then you fixed it, tohu mina midras, then it's not tomi midras anymore, I will tomi maga midras, but it's tomi as a rishon l'truma. V'amrinan loch, now we talmidim asked you, Rabbi Yechanan says to Chizkiyah, we talmidim asked you, maishna rishona dehokaima shniya, why is it different? You're saying when the first one breaks, the second one is still there, therefore it's still considered a functional keli, shniyan, and it's still usable as a sandal, shniyan nami mitakna rishona. So what happens when the second one breaks also? The first one was already fixed, it's usable again. So why should, when the second one breaks, why should it not be considered why should not be considered tumas midras anymore? Va'amrit lo nala, and you Chizkiyah explained to us the reason is ponim chadashas bo'olakan, because it's considered ponim chadashas, it's considered like a whole new keli. Now that both osnayim or both chausias broke off and you replaced them, even if they weren't both broken off at the same time, even if it was you fixed one and then the other one broke, but now you have, it's considered like a whole new keli. What? And therefore, so now we learned in the first parak the concept called tuma yeshana, that you have sometimes midrabanan, you say something was tahor, and then it went, for example, you had a metal keli, was melted down and then remade, we say it still goes back to its original tuma, but that was a specific zera as far as metal kalim, that doesn't apply to other things. Other things, if they're not makabal tuma for a period of time, then even if they're fixed, they're not makabal tuma anymore. So that's how it is over here. So the same thing Rabbi Yechanan says, in our case over here, involving this keli, yes, you have, there was never a hole in it at any one time the size of a motzi rimon, but the fact is, altogether, the whole area that was fixed to become a motzi rimon is, you have that whole area was fixed, and therefore it can be considered ponim chadashas, it can be considered like a whole new keli. Therefore, the ability to be makabel tumah that it had before, it doesn't have anymore. Chizkiyah was very impressed. Koriale less than Bar Inash. He said about Rabbi Yechanan, this is not a person. In other words, he's greater than a person. This is a malach, somebody who could come up with such a good answer. Ikadamri, another version of what Chizkiyah said, is Kagoin Dain Bar Inash. That's a person. Now that's the kind of person who deserves to Gavra Bakula. Rashi says a person who knows everything. This is the kind of person who deserves to be called a person. Well, but he's explaining based on that a new thing that Chizkiyah didn't realize the consequence of it, that for the question that he asked about the wooden keli. So that Rabbi Yechanan was able to do that, to take a din from one to take a din like that and apply it to a different answer. So Chizkiyah was very impressed by that. Omer Abzeda, so Abzeda says in this connection of Omer Abzeda, Omer Rava Bar Zimuna, famous expression, Im Rishonim Bnei Malachim, if the earlier generations were like Malachim, Anu Bnei Anashim, then we're on a lower level, Yuridus Adonis, and therefore we're like human beings. The Im Rishonim Bnei Anashim, and if the earlier generations were like people, Anu Kachamotim, then we are like donkeys. So one explanation is actually it depends on the two versions of what we just said, of what Chizkiyah said about Rabbi Yechanan. If Chizkiyah said about Rabbi Yechanan that he's like a malach, then we're saying, so we're on the level at least of people. But if Chizkiyah said about Rabbi Yechanan he's on the level of what a person should really be, then we're not on that level, we're like donkeys. Yeah, there's a famous explanation of it also that's attributed to Rabbi Akiva Eger and to other Achronim. The is, if we consider the Rishonim like Malachim, then we at least deserve to be called human beings. But if we consider them just like people, okay, like any person could make a mistake or whatever, and we say they could have made mistakes also, then we're not people, then we're Chamorim. Anybody who thinks that way. V'loi kachamorei shorab chaninim and doisev v'shorab pinachas ben yor. Don't think we mean donkeys that are on a higher level, like the donkey of chaninim and doisev, who wouldn't eat food that was stolen, or the donkey of Pinchas ben Yor who wouldn't eat food that was misered. That wouldn't work on Shabbos. They weren't going to work their animals on Shabbos. But no, in, in, No, that's something else. But no, in the case of Reb Pinchas ben Yoyo, you have a story in Chulin where the animal was given barley to eat or whatever, and it wouldn't eat it, and it turned out it wasn't misered. And the point is, now if it was meant to begin with for animal food, you wouldn't have to miser it. But it was barley that was originally meant for human food, and then they decided to feed it to the animal, so it has to be misered, and like the animal instinctively recognized that. With Reb Chanina ben Dosa, you have a story over there. Rashi refers to the Gemara in Tainis, although the Gemara in Tainis doesn't actually, the Gemara tells over there many stories about Reb Chanina ben Dosa, but not one involving his donkey. The Gemara mentions over there a story about somebody else, Reb Yossi de Minyukras, who had a donkey that he hired it out to somebody, and when it came back, they had left something on it, and the donkey wouldn't move until they took the thing off it that didn't belong to him. As far as Reb Chanina ben Dosa, though, it does mention in other places there's a story along the lines of that his donkey was stolen, and it wouldn't eat the food that they offered it, and eventually it made its way back home. So like it instinctively recognized the food was stolen and wouldn't eat it. So don't think when we say that we might be like chamorim, we're talking about chamorim like that, ela kashar chamorim, just like regular chamorim. Finish off over here. Vinodis yayin v'shemen. We said bags of wine and oil, you're allowed to tie and untie on Shabbos. So the question is pshita. The answer is lo tzricha de'isle tauti uni. What if it has two openings? You have uni means ears, so it means like things that you fold down into it, and like you have, there's a big opening on top, and then you make like openings in it, like you tie it in various places to make various openings, and then you fold them inside and then tie them closed. So again, like we said before, as far as the shirt and other things, maud tema chodim inau batul mevatala. You might think one of them is going to be mevatal. From now on, he's just going to pour out through one of them. Kamash Malan, that he won't do that because it's hard to do that, or because even if he does, he'll tie one and untie it. One time he'll untie one, and one time he'll untie a different one, and therefore neither of them is meant to be permanent. And we said Kedera Shalbasa, a pot of meat, same thing, Pshita, and the answer is Leitzricha de Isle Shlocha. The Chiddush is even if the pot has a spout. So again, you don't have to untie the cloth in order to get the stuff out of the pot. You could pour it out through the spout. So you might think he might do just that, pour it out through the spout and not untie the cloth off it. Kamash Malan, and therefore the Chiddush is he's not going to do that because, again, it's hard to pour out through the spout, like even if it has a spout, like a tea kettle or whatever, still you're not usually going to do that. You could do that once in a while, but you're just going to untie the cover off it and then take the food out of the pot through the top. Actually, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Let's go to the Mishnah real quick. It's short enough. We said Rabbi Lezman Yaakov. I'm a kosher chula. We said Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says you're allowed to tie a rope in front of an animal so it doesn't walk out. So again, the question is pshita. The answer is loitzricha de isle tauti isori. The chiddush is if it has two ties. Rashi says two explanations on that. One is you have two ropes, one above the other, and you could just conceivably untie the bottom one and there'd be room for the animal to get out. The other explanation is we're talking about the rope has two ends and one end is tied to each end of the door. So again, again, you might think you're going to be mevatel one of them. If we're talking two ropes, you might just untie the one rope and leave the other rope there permanently. Or if it's one rope with two ends, you might just untie one end and leave the other end tied permanently. Kamash Malan, that you're not going to do that because it's still going to be harder to take the animal out that way. Or because, again, you're going to sometimes untie one end and sometimes the other end, and therefore it's not permanent. Okay. Is the halacha like him? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'rav Lezman Yaakov. That, yes, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to tie and untie a rope to keep an animal from going out. So Abaya asked him, when you're saying halacha, does that imply that Rabbi Lezman Yaakov and the Chachamim argue? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, my nafka lachmina, what's the difference? The halacha is like him either way, whether they argue or not. Omalei, he says to him, we had this in the previous parak also, Gemara Gemara's motor to, hey, should learning Gemara be like a song that we're just saying you sing the words even if you don't understand them? When we're learning Gemara, we should be understanding what we're saying and knowing whether what we're saying is meaningful or not. So here, it's meaningful to know whether Rabbi Lezman Yaakov and the Chachamim argue or not. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef doesn't answer him. The Aruch brings a girsa, an explanation from Rabbi Haigoin, that it's not Abaya asking that it's not Abaya asking the question and Rabbi Yosef answering, but rather Rabbi Yosef himself is telling him, Gemara Gemara Zmorta Tehei, learning Gemara should be like people when people are singing in a choir where everybody sings all together, that we it doesn't really matter whether they're arguing or not. We would actually rather say that they are not arguing and still clarify that the halacha is like him, because they should be like in a choir, Zmorta Tehei, everybody singing the same note together. That's how it should really be in halacha, if at all possible. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone. Shabbos.